The story of the woman who was bent over is a story of both confrontation in relation to the Sabbath laws, and it is also a story of liberation, of her being set free. So the two parts of the story are the first two episodes where the woman is healed, and the second part is the controversy with others in the synagogue who were indignant about this. Now, the context of this story is Jesus' journey up to Jerusalem, and so it is set in the context of his stopping in a synagogue on his way up to Jerusalem through Samaria, and the focus of virtually all of that journey is Jesus' various teachings along the way. So this is Jesus' teaching in the context of his journey up to Jerusalem. The structure of this in relation to learning the story is that the first episode is about the woman and her situation. The second is about Jesus' response to her, that he called her over, said, "You're set free," and laid his hands on her. And the effect of this is that she immediately stood up straight and began praising God. Now, this all happens in the context of the synagogue where Jesus was teaching on the Sabbath. The second part of the story is then the controversy about this healing. The leader of the synagogue is indignant, and that is the subject of the third episode, is his response. The fourth episode is Jesus' response to him, which is addressed not just to him, but to all those in the synagogue. The final episode is the response of the crowd and of those who were there. His opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. So if you think of that structure, the woman, Jesus, the leader of the synagogue, Jesus' response to him, and then the response to Jesus' teaching, it's an easy story to learn. It is important to identify the Jewish provenance of this story. This is an argument about Sabbath law, about a daughter of Abraham, about the leader of the synagogue, and the argument that Jesus makes is a classic rabbinic argument that moves from the light to the grave. That is a matter of relative minor importance to something of major importance. That's his argument. And the argument is, you all take your ox or your donkey and untie it and lead it away to give it water. A little thing. The big thing is, this woman has been bound for 18 years, and so shouldn't she also be given the privilege of being untied from her bondage on the Sabbath day? So the comparison is, if it's true for the minor thing, your ox or your donkey, that it's okay to work on the Sabbath, then to make an exception in relation to that, isn't it also okay to make an exception in relation to this woman? Classic rabbinic argument. So everything in this story is set in the context of Judaism in the late first century. And the audience is addressed as members of the synagogue when Jesus responds to the leader of the synagogue who was so angry. A couple things about the dynamics of this story in telling it. The description of the woman is very poignant. And so to describe her being bent over, maybe even to demonstrate it, and that she couldn't stand up straight, and to tell that in a way that conveys the agony of her condition and being able to, unable to stand up straight. Jesus' response is one of compassion. And the woman's healing is a moment of great joy that she stood up straight, began praising God. So to do that, and to do it big, so that there is an experience of the woman's being set free. The leader of the synagogue is indignant. The level of indignation that is present in relation to violations of Sabbath law is very high in observant Jewish communities. It is a cornerstone of identity and is an issue that people were willing to go to the wall about. I will never forget when we were in Jerusalem one time, we pulled up in our bus at just after sundown to a hotel that was right on the edge of an Orthodox Jewish district. The bus was immediately surrounded by men who were furious and barged into the hotel, confronted the bus driver. They said, if you ever come back here again, we'll turn your bus over and burn it. So don't hesitate to express a high degree of rage in relation to what Jesus had done. This is not addressed to Jesus directly. Rather, the synagogue leader says this to the crowd, but of course it's directed indirectly at Jesus. Jesus then also speaks to the crowd as a way of addressing the leader. And his response, I think, is probably not as angry as the leader, but that, you know, this is a real fight. So Jesus clearly assumes that the crowd agrees with the leader. And so he addresses them about their hypocrisy in relation to being angry about this when they take their ox or their donkey and lead it to water, which is clearly assumed to be something that everybody in the audience is doing. So what's important to recognize about this is that this is a Jewish story being told by Luke about Jews, and I think predominantly to Jews, also Gentiles who were Jewish in their identity. But in order to participate in this story, it is essential that you address the audience in your congregation as Jews who are members of the synagogue. Now, some of the things that are going on in this story in relation to the issues of Sabbath law. Sabbath was a cornerstone of Jewish identity. It was what made Jews different than Gentiles, because Gentiles did not observe the Sabbath, and the observation of Sabbath law was absolutely a cornerstone of the identity of the people of Israel. And Pharisees, especially, cared about that. Now, not all Jews did. Many of them were like secular Jews now and Christians in secular contexts who don't care about blue laws or Sabbath or whatever. But Pharisees did. And so they were then people who were concerned about doing what was right and observing religious things. So they were like Christians who go to church every Sunday and who pay attention to the observation of the law, of doing what is right. So the Pharisees then were people who were concerned about that. And Jesus was also concerned. He's involved in debate with them about the weightier matters of the law. Jesus, at several points in the story, expresses that he has authority over the Sabbath. And over again, he gets involved in controversies around what is more important about Sabbath law observance. This is rabbinic debate about what characterizes the things that are most important to observe about the Sabbath. Jesus does not, at any point, say that the Sabbath should not be observed. His arguments are about what is most important to happen on the Sabbath day, and that healing and caring for the sick and those matters are of sufficient importance that they are worth doing on the Sabbath day, and that that's appropriate. In the background of all of this story is the argument about the character of the kingdom of God. In the government of God that is being established, actions such as this, a woman being set free from a spirit that is clearly associated in this story with her being possessed by an evil spirit, that discussion, that proclamation of the coming of the kingdom is given specificity in this story. Her being able to stand up straight, to have dignity again, and to be set free from this affliction is a sign of the presence of the government of God and of the spirit of this new age. Now, there are a couple small matters that I want to mention before we stop with this story. The first is that there is a verbal thread in the episode of Jesus' response that is not rightly translated, and that I would suggest that you change. Jesus' response is, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey and lead it away?" In the next period, the next sentence, about the woman, the word that is translated in the NRSV as set free is the same word as untie. And Luke is clearly here making a connection between this. So, don't each of you untie his ox or his donkey? Then ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be untied from this bondage on the Sabbath day? So that the connection between these two is made very explicit by Jesus. That is, you guys untie your ox and your donkey. I'm untying this woman who has been bound for 18 years. And that's appropriate on the Sabbath. So that verbal thread helps to make that connection. The other detail is that the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. The word that is used there, endoxa, is also used in Exodus 34:10. And I'd suggest you look it up and see that story. It is a story about Moses in the aftermath of the giving, immediate aftermath of the giving of the tablets again. And it is, the word is used to describe all the wonderful things that God will do for the people of Israel. It sets then this rejoicing at the wonderful things that Jesus was doing in the context of the miracles and signs that God did for the people of Israel in the Passover, in the Exodus. So it will simply help make that more specific and concrete. This is a story that combines a miracle of healing with a controversy. In that sense, it is like the healing of the paralytic in Mark. The move from the miracle and the celebration of that to the conflict is a story development that makes this story very interesting. And it ends with, then, an even greater degree of joy on the part of the entire crowd who were rejoicing at the things that Jesus was doing. So it's a great story, and I hope you have fun telling.